Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we're going to continue on in the book of Amos, and our devotional comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into a house and leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. In the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up Sikuth your king, and Kiun your star god, your images that you made for yourselves, and I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Amen. In our passage today, we see that the people of Israel longed to see the day of the Lord. And it's interesting here, it doesn't really say why they longed to see the day of the Lord, but I think it's because they thought it was going to bring salvation. They thought it was going to bring, in some way, light and a brightness to their day. I think it's a reflection kind of the hope and the peace that they were looking forward to. But the prophecy says that the day of the Lord is not going to be light, but it's going to be darkness. It's not going to be bright, but there's going to be gloom. It's as if a man fled from a lion and he met a bear along the way. It's as if a man were to lean his hand against the wall, but then a serpent bit him. And he tells them that their sense of comfort is misled. The day of the Lord is going to be a time of destruction and exile for them. Now, the day of the Lord here, you know, I think there's some debate on what the day of the Lord is referring to. It could be referring to the day that Christ returns, the second coming of Jesus, but I actually think it's referring to the judgment of the Lord upon Israel, which comes through the nation of Assyria. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about how the nation of Assyria was going to come into the land of Israel, the northern kingdom, and conquer them. And that is why the Israelites were going to be in exile. That is part of God's judgment. And I think that is what the day of the Lord is more so referring to. And so he says that the day of the Lord is going to be so hard. It's going to be a day of destruction for them. And the rest of our passage today details the reasons for God's impending judgment. He says that all of their religious activities, their religious feasts and assemblies, their sacrifices, their offerings, their religious songs and music and idols, such as Sikuth and Kiun, these idols that they had drawn up themselves, all of these religious activities were far from pleasing to the Lord. They actually pushed God away. And it's interesting because all of these religious activities may look like it was the right thing to do at that time. But what I felt like God was reminding me of in this passage is that God doesn't look at our outward appearances, at our outward activities, but he looks at the heart. God looks at our hearts. And, you know, this makes me think about our own lives. You know, we meet together on Sundays. We meet together for morning prayer. We meet together on Friday nights and Monday night prayer. We do these different gatherings, these different assemblies, if you will. You know, we sing songs of praise. We sing worship songs, CCM, Christian contemporary music. You know, we say that we're following Christ and we're doing all these religious things. But is it actually with the right heart? Is it with a heart of worship? Do our hearts worship the Lord, or is it worshiping other idols of our day? Are we actually following Christ, or are we actually just living for ourselves? When we're doing all these religious things and gathering together, is it actually out of a heart of total devotion to God? And I don't think that our lives are that much different from the Israelites in the Northern Kingdom. It's sad to say that, a lot of people, perhaps many of us, have gone through the motions. We fall into the trap of just doing things because we're either told that we should be doing it, or because we feel like it's the right thing to do, or even worse, we feel like we need to do it in order to gain salvation or God's favor. Our response and our in the way that we actually live our daily lives, what we do should be a response of gratitude and worship and praise to our God. Do our lives reflect our faith? Does your life reflect the character of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of Christ? You know, what does it look like for us to actually live in such a way that honors and pleases the Lord? I would hate to hear from a modern day prophet several years down the road who says, the Lord hates and despises our Sunday services. He hates and despises the way that we do our church activities. I would hate for that. I long for Symphony Church to be a people with a heart of worship, a heart that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. I think a lot of this takes some self-reflection. It allows the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, into our hearts and our minds, and correct anything that is unholy and unpleasing to the Lord. And it's interesting how in this passage, the entire passage is basically a word of judgment and a word of condemnation to the people of Israel. But there is only one verse where there is a command. There's a command to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And, yesterday we talked about how seeking good is a means of seeking the Lord. To be righteous is to be like the Father in all his ways. You know, justice and righteousness lived out will roll on and never fail. It's going to have this perpetuating, resounding sound in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our society. When a whole society lives justly and seeks righteousness, the effect will be a compounding, perpetuating river of blessing from God. And so let's really reflect on our own hearts, and let's pray that our lives can be a part of letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness be like an ever-flowing stream. Let's pray that we can be a part of God's mission, and that our lives can be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray that today. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that even as we reflect on this passage, God, there's so much that we need to repent of. There's so much that we need to confess of. And we pray, God, that you would cleanse us from all idolatry, from all self-centeredness, from anything that is not pleasing to you, God. God, we want to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable and pleasing to you. So, Lord, we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to do that. And, Lord, I believe that one of the ways for us to be these pleasing sacrifices to you is to be a part of your mission to establish justice and righteousness in our cities and neighborhoods. So, God, we pray for your help. We pray that you would help us to do that in our respective areas, in our respective environments, so that we can establish the kingdom of God where we are. We thank you and we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.